Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Well, hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and we're coming to you this week, which is the week on the PGA Tour where everybody moves out of Vegas for the first time in a while, and they've gone to Southern California to the Zozo Championship, and that tournament had been in Japan. Tiger Woods, defending champion, and they moved it to Sherwood Country Club, a place very, very familiar for Tiger and a lot of the other guys that played in Tiger's tournament up until about 7 years ago or so at Sherwood. And anyway, that's where they're at this week because of COVID, moving it out of Japan to the Zozo Championship. In a little bit, we got Mark Zucchino with PGA Tour Radio joining us, so he'll give us a little bit of taste of what it's been like during the last 6, 7, 8, 10 weeks on the tour, of the stops, the no fans, the whole COVID scenario that we have on the PGA Tour. So we'll get to Mark Zucchino in just a little bit. In the meantime, Frank Bassett, as always, in the Nashville studios, joining us. How you doing today, Frank?
Hey, post-debate Nashville.
That's right.
Last night was fun. John Rich had a party downtown.
Did you watch?
Yeah, I went to a watch party thing. But JD was in town, John Daly, and, you know, Kid Rock.
They were at the debate, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah,
I think
they were.
Somebody said they saw him.
Then they were at Rich's party afterwards, yeah, down at Redneck Riviera. So, yeah, okay. It was a lot of fun. It's over. Now let's just get the election over with, and let's get back to playing golf and forget about all this other stuff. So I saw Air Force One flying yesterday, though. It was very neat to see it fly over, yeah.
Well, that's kind of cool.
That's pretty cool to see that plane. That plane screams America.
Did somebody know it was coming over? Did you just happen to be outside when it came over?
I was just doing some stuff. I was outside, but I knew what time he left Washington.
Oh, okay.
So I said, okay, that plane's going to fly, you know, pretty quick. So I just made it a point to be out and about looking up, and here it comes.
Okay.
You know, it was pretty cool. So I saw it was from a distance, I mean, but you saw it on this glide path coming into the airport. Pretty cool. Fun stuff, you know.
Nice.
I mean, it was neat. Yeah. It was fun last night. Wow, craziness. If you love Trump, if you hate Trump, if you love Biden, if you hate Biden, I love golf, so who cares? Let's just get this thing over with.
Yeah, well, it has become its own reality show, hasn't it?
Yes, sure. It has.
I mean,
yes.
It's kind of taken over. By the way, have you voted yet, or you're going to wait till
No, I've completed the voting process. I won't say who I voted for, unlike Mitt Romney, who said he didn't vote for Trump. Why would you say that? Why would you say that? Come on, man.
I went and voted where I normally vote, and I always early vote. It just makes so much more sense to me. I just know who wants to wait in those lines. But where I normally vote, which is always, you know, in my area, it's a church, but it's always a school, a church, wherever you vote.
Sure.
And it was like seriously 500 people every day
around
the school, around the gymnasium, outside and all that. I went to a junior college. Somebody said, I go to this junior college, and which is only, you know, 10 minutes away. And it was me and 7 people.
Yeah.
I walked in, got my ballot, I was out of there.
Done.
And it was the best thing in the world. So if you're out there and you're listening and you're still going to time to vote, just find the right place to vote. A lot of people don't
vote,
I think, because of the hassle, right? They're like, oh, I don't want to wait in line for an hour. I got things to do, and I get it.
Being pretty lazy to be free, isn't it?
Yeah. But a lot of people use that reasoning and say, well, I got things to do.
Yeah.
And then they don't vote. But you can find places, I think, that are like my junior college. And everybody's just, they stand there almost like the Maytag repairman. Like you walk in, they go, hey, welcome. Thanks for me. You know, they're so happy to see somebody come in to vote.
Yeah.
There's nobody in there. It's like a ghost town.
47, as of this morning, 47 plus million people have already voted. And we won't get real political, but I will say this. How in the hell can you go vote before you've listened, unless you're just sure of what they're going to say and what's going to come out between now and Election Day, until the presidential debates are over with? That was my big pet peeve. Let's let everybody talk, and then let's go vote. Let's don't, you know, ready, fire, aim, you know?
Well, I would say this to that, Frankie, that I don't know that the debates have changed a lot of people's opinion.
Well, that's true, too.
You liked who you liked, or you didn't like who you didn't like, and I don't know that changed anything. Certainly, the first debate didn't change anything because none of us learned anything. All it was a
scream match.
You Yeah, screaming at each other. It was ridiculous. Yeah. So I don't know that you kind of know their stances. I hope if you've done a little research, you kind of know where they stand on almost everything. So, you know, I'm all for as many people voting as can legally vote, and let's just let the
vote early,
decide.
Vote often.
You know, I think I don't know why we get so dramatic about this, because there's been elections, you know, since the start of time, and we've gone through liberal president, and we've gone through conservative, and we've gone up and down and back, and all the other. It's what it is, right? And everybody's acting like, oh, this is the most. Well, you know what? I think they've said for the last 50 years, this might be the most important election of all. Okay, well, because it's involving you. I mean, everybody thinks it's because it's now, you know. But I don't. I'm like, you know what? Whatever happens, I think there are two American presidents who will, whichever one wins, will try their best to do the best for us. I know you like some better than others, but I kind of like the process and just say, and I'm with you, Frank. You know, where else would I want to live? Nowhere. So it won't be perfect, but whoever's the president, I'll support him and say, let's move on.
You know? I don't know. Zucchino and I had a discussion this morning, and he and I are both kind of voting on a mountainside in Italy, but is a second home or first home, whatever. We'll talk about that with Mark. Yeah. But Mark loves Italian food, and I love Italian food, and Mark loves wine, and I love wine, and God knows, you know, our wives like wine.
He can't vote, can he? We have to ask him about his voting.
Not down here, he can't. No.
That's what I'm saying.
No.
He gets no say in any of this stuff.
No. They're worried. The people in Canada are worried. We'll touch on that, but really want to get about the Tales from the Tour concept. What's going on out there, and, you know, who's doing what, and who's cheating, who isn't, as far as cheating on the lockdown sort of thing.
But isn't it weird when you see them getting interviewed after their rounds? Just, the whole distancing thing is still. Yeah. I watched a football game recently.
Oh yeah.
And the post game interview was done by the sideline reporter with like the quarterback, and the sideline reporter, she was two rows up in the stands.
Yeah.
And he was. They were like 30 feet apart, asking questions. It's just so bizarre.
It is so
weird to see. You know, where people used to be right in front of each other, and now we have to. Yeah. Everything we do, you ordered Starbucks. You know, you got to make sure you stand behind the plexiglass 5 steps back.
Well, that's you. You go every morning. I know that. Every morning.
Yeah.
After your run, you go to Starbucks and do your coffee. I have Starbucks coffee here at the house. Grind my beans in a burr grinder every morning for a fresh cup of homemade coffee.
Well, yeah, it's an emotion.
I don't have to drive to a Starbucks. I don't want to drive.
I want to get out of the house.
I'm starting to like it here. I'm going to rename my house Waco. We ain't coming out.
In your bunker. I know.
Me and Joe.
You're hanging out.
Hey, by the way, we'll get off this presidential stuff.
Yes.
But one guy owns golf courses. Another guy doesn't own golf courses. Okay. Well, both guys are supposedly single-digit handicaps, but they say Biden's a better golfer, or was a better golfer in his day, than Trump.
Is that right?
Yeah. So,
I don't know that I've ever seen Biden play golf.
I think we just need to have a smackdown 18 holes, handicaps in play for the presidency, and forget about all this other stuff. You know,
that's who wins.
Just clear it right there, and play it on a neutral golf course, Liberty National.
I have heard that. Yeah. I have heard that Trump doesn't always count every stroke.
Yeah, I've heard that
too. To that, you think?
Yeah, I don't know. Far be it from me to call the president out as a cheater.
Call somebody on it
on the air because I really like doing this show.
I like not having to pay my taxes.
Yeah, and I like not being audited by the IRS. Knock on wood.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So there you go.
That's a good way to decide it. A round of golf.
Yeah.
See what we do.
It's just 18 holes, baby.
Next time around.
You know, the U.S. Open playoff. There you go. It's the U.S. presidency playoff.
A lot on the line when you're making a putt.
lot more than $1 million.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot more than a big money bet. Let's take a quick break here, Frank. Then we'll try to hook in our Canadian friend, Mark Zucchino from PGA Tour Radio, to give us some insight into what's going on in the tour, what he's been seeing.
Yeah,
over the last several stops he's had. Did he do both Vegas tournaments?
He did. He did both Vegas tournaments. He stayed in
Vegas
for
back-to-back,
14
so.
Days. And there's some questions I could ask, but probably not on the air, about what went on out there.
That's so much longer than I think most people.
3 days
really
is plenty.
To be in Vegas.
3 days.
Yes. 14 days. I'm surprised he got out of there. I mean, it's
we had Todd on the last show, Todd Lewis, and Todd was out there. Yeah. Over the spread, too. Of course,
Todd. He was out there for the...
Todd was playing some golf on some pretty damn nice golf courses, too. So.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It was,
At Shadow Creek. Remember, he was talking about going out to Shadow Creek. I'd never seen it before.
He'd never seen it.
He goes, no. He goes, I still haven't seen it. We talked to him. He was on the strip, right, the morning of or something. He said, I'm going out there today, but it's the first time I'm going to get a chance to see Shadow
Zucchino
Creek.
Zucchino will tell you. He told me this morning, he said, of course it's hard, man. It looks hard. I said, yeah, it is hard, man.
Yeah, I bet.
So,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
really. Do it. Get us out of here.
So let's take a quick break, and again, we'll be joined by Mark Zucchino. Tell us a little bit about what's been going on, not just Vegas, but everything else in the last several weeks for him on the tour. And looking forward, we got the Masters right around the corner, and what's going to happen there. So a lot of questions about that. Thank you, everybody, for being with us. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back here on Golf Talk America. So stay with us. And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett joining you. And we've got a lot to talk about with what's happening on the PGA Tour. As I said before the break, that the Masters, the much-delayed Masters, is right around the corner. I think the anticipation is as high as ever, despite the fact that it's months later than it normally would be. But to see how they're going to play it, who's going to play well, who's going to play even leading up to it, because there's even some little bit of controversy with that, with the tournament in Houston beforehand, who might play in that, the fact that they're now saying they're going to have some fans at the tournament in Houston, and well, that affects some people. Phil Mickelson had a couple of comments about that too, about the possibility of playing in front of fans before you head to Augusta. So a lot of stuff that's up for debate that we're going to be getting into. And join us now, as we said before the break as well, Mark Zucchino with PGA Tour Radio has taken a little break in his very busy schedule to be with us. Mark, thanks so much for being with us today. How you doing?
Gentlemen, I'm good. Good to talk to both of you. And so weird that we're a couple of weeks away from a Masters. Bizarre. I'm calling it the Pumpkin Spice Masters. That's what I'm calling it. So.
Just like everything else.
But it'll only be $1.25 if you buy pumpkin spice coffee and a pimento cheese sandwich, right? There you go.
That's it. Does pumpkin go with pimento? I don't know. I don't know.
Pumpkin goes with everything, man. Are you kidding?
Apparently. Yeah. Apparently it seems to. Hey, Mark, you were obviously taking a break now from the PGA Tour Radio, but you had the two events in Vegas back-to-back, and Frank and I were talking about that, just kind of speculating. That's a long time. I guess you were there for two full weeks or pretty close to 14 days. That's a long time to spend in Las Vegas, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because we moved, you know, there was a change in hotel venue in the middle of the week because obviously MGM's attachment to the second event at Shadow Creek was kind of evident throughout the week. So we moved over to the MGM, and it was curious to me, interesting to me, just to see Vegas change over 2 weeks. It progressively got busier as we went later and later, and then closer to the weekend at Shadow Creek. So I guess it's good news, I think, for me anyway, that, you know, tourism in Las Vegas is starting to kind of come back to life, for lack of a better term. And it was good to see the casinos with action and the sports book. You know, Doug Bell and I watched his Alabama Crimson Tide play their big game against Georgia, which he was very much excited about. And then we watched the lightweight world championship that was coming from the MGM. We watched that in the sport. So I mean, it felt a little bit normal, and it was getting more and more like that. So it was very interesting, but it was, yeah, you're right. It's a long haul for the tour to be in Vegas. But what a great couple of weeks. And I really, really enjoyed Shadow Creek. What an awesome place.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time. It's like they built a golf course and with virtual reality to make it as beautiful and as challenging as it could possibly be. And then they implanted it in the middle of the desert. Because when you go on that course, as you can tell us, I'm sure, it's like, you're not in Vegas. You're not in the desert.
No, if you were to remove the backdrop of the mountains or get to a location on the golf course where you don't see the mountains, which is quite a few spots, because to your point, Frank, they went down. Like, they went down into the desert to kind of, like, block you and seclude you from the environment. I said to Doug before we got there, I said, Doug, you're going to think you're in Georgia, or you're going to think you're in North Carolina or something along those lines. It looks more like something you would find in Augusta or something you would find in Pinehurst or something along those lines. There's no way you would guess that you were in the Vegas desert. It's like Disney World. Every time you go there to Shadow Creek, I want them to play It's a Small World After All as we go through our 18 holes. Because it is completely make-believe. It is unbelievable. And to walk around there for 4 days and cover that tournament, I've had the pleasure of playing it before many years ago. But being on the property for 4 days and seeing the world's best kind of go around there, you get even a greater appreciation for the golf course and how smart a golf course is. I always knew how beautiful it was. I always knew how, exclusive it was and all the stories about the big names that play there, et cetera, et cetera. But I didn't realize how smart a golf course it was and how they can just very, very similar to Augusta in a way, in the sense that with just the subtle change of a hole location and stretching a hole out or making it a little shorter, it can change. It can show its teeth overnight. And you saw that on, I believe it was the Saturday at Shadow Creek, where they just went, okay, guys, not today. And it looked the same when you got there. And when you got out your hole location sheet, you went, okay, well, there's some gettable holes here. It is subtly holes. Very difficult.
Sucker pin placements, and it was Saturday. You're absolutely right. But, hey, Mark, let's back up a little bit and talk about, you and I in March of 2019 were in Ponte Vedra Beach. We're ready to go, whatever, for the Players' Championship. We get the first day Thursday. Then we get the note that night. Everybody,
Frank, that was this year, right?
2020. Yeah, 2020. I'm sorry. 2020. Yeah. It's who knows? It's all running together for me. But this past year, we all, go home. It's over. So they shut it down. They bring it back. And let's take it from the time that they brought it back. And when you started going back out on the road and doing some tournaments, what's it like out there? Because, we have not been live like we usually are at venues around the tournaments and at the tournaments because of the tour has basically locked down the media, and especially us as a live traveling show. We had too many people, so they have, like you said, Doug Ferguson from the AP and Steve and ESPN and, well, AP, ESPN, and whomever
a handful.
Else. A handful. Yeah. That's it. That's covering it all. Now, we get all the feeds and all the latest and greatest live from the tour, which is great. But not being there, you've been out there. Give us your insights.
Well, it's very different, guys. The first thing I'll say is, right off the top, I think the tour's done an amazing job. When you think of, the circus that the PGA Tour is, and it really is a circus, right? It goes from town to town, puts up its tent. They take the elephants and the lions out of the cage and, they get it set up for 5 days, 4 or 5 days, and then they're off to the next town. It is a circus. And when you figure the amount of moving parts that these guys have to deal with and that they can't control anything that happens when these players leave the tour and go home, they can't control their behavior, they can't control their choices and what they do. The fact that, we've been out there now since May across Korn Ferry and PGA Tour, and we've got, a couple of handfuls of positive tests. I'm shocked, and I can't applaud them enough for what they've been able to accomplish. So that's the first thing that comes to mind. But my first event back was early. I was in Detroit for the Rocket Mortgage Classic. That was my first event, which is in the first 4 or 5 events of the restart. And I was out on the ground in Detroit. And the first time out, it was eerie because you're not used to it. You walk onto one of those events, you guys know, thousands of people, grandstands full. There's a buzz on the golf course, especially when you get to Sunday. None of that. Eerily quiet. From a media standpoint, we like hanging out in the media center before, after the broadcast. You get to say hi to friends. Frank and I, we had lunch at the Players' Championship and got caught up having lunch and having a coffee out on the patio there at the media center. Well, we're not even allowed to access the media center. There's like a handful of writers that you guys mentioned that have access to the media center. All broadcast media is kind of put into the TV compound, which is off the beaten path, working out of the PGA Tour live trailer. Obviously, everybody in masks. And, you know, it's kind of like your lunch to go in a box kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to limit the amount of contact that you have with everyone. Even with the players, you know, as a PGA Tour radio broadcaster, you know, you'd go into a locker room and speak to a player. You'd go onto a driving range, post-game interviews. There's none of that. Now we're doing post-game interviews with a boom mic standing 20 feet away from the player. And, you know, this boom mic's 9 times taller than I am. It's ridiculous. But funny story, and this has happened a couple of times, and in fact, Xander Schauffele mentioned it in my Friday interview with him at Shadow Creek. But if you go back to Detroit, it's the first time it's happened, and now it's happened numerous times. There's nobody out there. And as you guys know on radio, we got to bring the energy. We got to bring this excitement. We don't have the luxury of relying on video and pictures like the TV guys do. Right? That's the greatest job in the world, TV play-by-play guy. All right, here we are on the tee. Well, that's a wonderful shot. He'll have a birdie from there. That's the job on TV, okay? All right? Radio is so much more going on. The job is so much more difficult. We bring it. So I am with Webb Simpson on Friday of the Rocket Mortgage Classic. We get to the 16th hole, par 4. Webb Simpson has not missed the green all day. I believe he was 7 or 8 under par when we got to 16. Completely clean card, playing beautifully. He misses the par 4 16th and puts his golf ball in a little kind of pot bunker adjacent to the putting surface on the left. He's got about a 25, 30-foot bunker shot with, you know, maybe 15 feet of green to play with, and he knocks it in the hole. He knocks it in the hole. I go crazy calling this shot. I lose my mind. There's nobody out there. I have the entire group stops. It was like straight out of a movie, guys. The entire group stops, look at one another, look at me, and kind of go, really? Like, they're like, what is going on with the radio guy? The radio guy's losing his mind over there. So happened again with Xander this week. So it's very bizarre. I mean, it is quite often you're out there and you feel like you're the only person out there yelling and screaming. And, I know why we're doing it. I understand what's going on. But, you know, Rory said he missed the fans. Let me tell you right now, the radio team, we miss the fans. Our job is so much harder with the fans not out there.
Well, it is. And I know it is simply because, and Tim, you know this as well, being out there on the course doing it, your voice carries. And you guys, you know, you have to put up, you put your clipboard in front of you hold your mic, you put the clipboard up, and you turn away from the player. So the voice doesn't carry toward them when they're putting or teeing off or whatever. And with it being so quiet now out there, your voice is carrying even more. So it has to be a little tougher. Have you had any of the players, Mark, shush you over the past few weeks?
I'm trying to think. I think there had to be one. There must be once or twice in the last. There had to be. Nothing major or would certainly stand out in my mind. Nothing major. But you know what, guys? To your point, I have been way more aware of mic placement, where I'm standing, clipboard, etc., all those things we go through since we've returned without spectators. I have been way more aware of it and calling golf from much further away than I would normally call golf. But normally, you know, we get the bodies of the galleries and grandstands to kind of shield our voice. They start to cheer as the ball gets near the hole or someone makes a great shot, etc. We can get drowned out and use that to do our job and also use that environment to make it more exciting on the broadcast so that there's some ambiance and background noise, and et cetera. Now, you know, depending on who I'm calling, because some guys got like a little bit more sensitive ears than others, let's just say, I could be calling a birdie putt from the 150 yard marker. Okay. So,
Bubba Watson doesn't come to mind though, but never mind. I won't go there. But
no comment.
No comment.
But Bubba, Bubba's got some sensitive ears, but you know what? I got to tell you, I was following Bubba and called him quite a bit at the Northern Trust, the first playoff event. And he's open about this, so I'm not saying anything that, you know, that Bubba wouldn't say himself, right? And Bubba said that, you know, on occasion he can get into one of those lanes where he maybe hears a little bit more or sees a little bit more than what he normally does. And I could have, we did a post-round interview at the Northern Trust, and I was shocked at, and I'm applauding him for this. It was a breath of fresh air because so many of these guys, as you guys know, are so guarded and so scripted, especially when they start to get to, you know, winning major championships and things like that. It's almost like they turn into different people and they've got like 30 people in there. And I'm not just talking about golfers. I'm talking about, you know, athletes in general. When they find success, they've got 30 people writing speeches for them, almost like politicians. And Bubba was so transparent when he walked off of the Northern Trust talking about being jittery and having a lack of confidence and needing to believe in himself and talking about the importance of, you know, the 6 inches between the ears, which he hasn't had control over in the last year and how he's been working on it. I mean, it was really exceptional. He was so transparent. I was like, when I left that interview with Bubba, I was thinking to myself, wow, I wish we got more of that. We don't get enough of that. So kudos to him on that.
Well, it has been a trying and difficult and challenging last several months on the PGA Tour because it's a new world. Everybody's still trying to figure out how exactly to do the things, like you're saying, Mark, about whether it's post-game interviews or post-match interviews or on the site. Again, we're talking with Mark Zucchino from PGA Tour Radio about life on the tour during this this COVID world. Talking about, we did mention that the Masters is coming up. There's the Houston tournament right before that, which, again, had always been, or back in the spring, for many, many years, had been a good warm-up for a lot of guys, Phil most notably, because Houston tried to emulate as much as they could Augusta, so that you kind of got a good feel the week before of the similar greens and layout and whatnot of the golf course. Now you got Houston again before the Masters, but with fans, Mark, and I don't know which tournaments you might be doing coming up. I don't know if you're going to be at Houston or not, but they're saying, was it Frank? A couple thousand fans, I think they're saying, each day they're going to let in.
Different venue,
big,
though.
Not a big crowd.
Different venue now. They've redone Memorial. And it will
but
be on a public
allow
golf
the
course. Yeah.
They're going to have the fans there. And Phil came out and said, I'm not sure if I want to play in front of fans before the Masters in case I were to get something. That's a bad time to do it, right? You don't want to get it right before the Masters. But there's also a tournament on the PGA Tour Champions, which Phil has dominated, and he might play in that, he said, but they might also allow fans. He does want to play. He likes to play the week before the Masters. So the world's kind of evolving in that sense too, Mark, isn't it, that now fans are going to maybe start trickling in, and some tournaments are going to start to say, I'm really surprised, to be honest with you, that the Masters is not going to have any fans, even if it was limited, because they always kind of do their own thing. And people, patrons at the at Augusta, will almost always do what they're told, it seems. So if they were told to do this and this and distance or wear a mask, or I think they would all do it. So I'm a little surprised that the Masters isn't doing it. But what do you think about Houston allowing some fans in, really for the first time, other than volunteers and a few that kind of trickle around on the golf course in the last several months?
Yeah, well, I'm kind of shocked that Augusta isn't having some small fans as well. I predicted that about 3-4 months ago, that I thought the first time we would see spectators on a golf course would be at Augusta. I was saying that back in, you know, June, I was saying that. So I'm surprised at that as well. From the Houston standpoint, it is a little surprising because, listen, I understand the dilemma. Houston is trying to do, you know, the organizers of that golf tournament are trying to create the best golf tournament they can for Houston, for those players, for the people behind that tournament. And their job is to make that a great success. Their job is not to protect the field at Augusta. So I understand that. However, because of that initiative, because their job is to make Houston as good as it can, they have put the players, possibly, depending on your appetite for risk, and it's all to the individual, the exception of two or three things, which I think we're all doing. Outside of that, We're just trying to make individual choices for ourselves and our families. Because of that, I think they may have put the players in an interesting position, to your point. You know, how important to you is the Houston Open on your schedule? Now, again, personal choice. To a guy like Phil Mickelson, who is 50 years old, who is playing strictly now for the love of the game and legacy, does he need to be at the Houston Open? Like, does that change the way history looks at Phil Mickelson? No. But if Phil Mickelson wins a green jacket in a couple of weeks, boy, does that change the way, again, we just keep moving him up the all-time list, so to speak. And that's without any disrespect to the the Houston Open. There's no disrespect, because it's a wonderful golf tournament. I'm just talking to that individual. Whereas if you're a younger player and you're trying to get your first win on the PGA Tour, a win on the PGA Tour is a win on the PGA Tour. FedEx Cup points you need, or FedEx right. Cup points that count at the end of the year. So again, to the individual, very, very different. And it's going to be interesting to see if some players say, listen, I really want to play Houston, but this just adds another element that I don't need. And the last thing I want is a positive test at Augusta. So I'm going to lock myself up for 2 weeks so that I know when I get off my private plane, as a lot of these guys playing in that Masters field will be using because of the type of player we're talking about. When I get off my private plane and go into the quote unquote Masters bubble, I know I got a negative. I'm going to be curious to see who this affects. You know, as you mentioned, Mickelson has already suggested that he might be one of those guys that changes his schedule or makes a decision differently. I'm wondering if he's the only one. I hope not. I really hope it works out well for Houston. This is a big time for them, right? Like you said, new people behind the tournament, new golf course, lots going on here. Yeah. 2,000 spectators a day is the number I've heard. So, a lot of unknowns, and a lot of unknowns, guys, this year at Augusta. Come on, a Masters in November? This is going to be insane. It's going to be fun because it's going to be different, but wow. You know, if a Masters in November with trading in azaleas for orange and pumpkin, I mean, if that isn't a symbol of how crazy this year has been, you know, I don't know what is.
You know, it's interestingly enough, to your point on Houston, you know, Houston was struggling. The Shell Houston Open forever, and then Shell pulls out. So you know, this is a whole new game for Houston. So you're right; they need to make this tournament a success because it's been a stable tournament for so many years. I mean, when it was played at the Woodlands, and then you know moved, and it's a great tournament, great venue. Going to Memorial Park, where I think the last PGA Tour event. That was played there was won by a guy named Doug Sanders, I believe. I'm not sure on that, but I think Doug was the last winner there at Memorial Park, which is right in downtown Houston. So
I think that's the point, you know, Frank, you probably nail on the head. You know, just like any other professional sports league, the PGA Tour needs corporate support for their events, et cetera. And the fact that it's now moving into downtown Houston, I think – when we get out the other side of COVID and the world returns back to normal, if we fast forward a year from now, let's say, I think having it at an old classic golf course and having it in downtown Houston where you can, you know, be right there where the pulse of the city is, where the corporate support will come from, et cetera, I think this is going to be a great move. I just think, unfortunately, we're going to probably have to wait a year to see the true impact of the move for this tournament. You know what I mean? It's just unfortunate, but we're all dealing with it, not just Houston, every tournament. Yeah.
But I agree. And by the way, close, because Houston is near and dear to my heart, close to Memorial Park Golf Course is one of my favorite Mexican restaurants in all of Houston. And it's called Cafe Adobe. And it's so if you have a chance for our listeners, if you're there in Houston, go, you know, Cafe Adobe if you're in Houston. But if you're visiting Houston, Texas, go check out Cafe Adobe, right close to Memorial Park and almost downtown. Great food. You know me
every
cheese dip.
Every tournament relates to food for you, doesn't it, Frank?
It does a lot. Absolutely. Why not? And that's another thing, Mark, with the PGA Tour bubble, Mark and Tim, the PGA Tour bubble now. You know, even if we're there, like I'll be in Augusta, okay, for the Masters. We'll be there. But even going out to restaurants, that doesn't happen. You're in a bubble now. So, you know, we don't, the guys don't get to go out. The team, like in Memphis, we always go to the Rendezvous as the PGA Tour radio team. And in Augusta, we're going to Reinhardt's or T-Bone's and partying. Not going to happen. You're not going to be out rubbing shoulders with the players at night. Just not going to happen. So it's really changed the whole look and feel and aura, if you will, of the magic of the PGA Tour.
Yeah, it's just part of the new world, and like nobody likes or enjoys, Frank, to your point. I miss like our Memphis dinners, and obviously having one day of the players, you know, was awful that we're not having a players champion this year. Like that to me is just bizarre. It's almost like missing a World Series or something along those lines. So I don't, you know, none of this is fun. But I think we're all just going, okay, if this is how we go to work, if this is how we keep the tour going until there's a vaccine, until there are better therapeutics, et cetera, put in line all the things that need to happen before we return to some type of normal. If this is what we got to do, then
gotta do
it's better than not playing golf, right? It's better than not having a show, better than not playing golf, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep, it absolutely is, Mark. It's hey, by the way, before we let you go, because I know you have things you have to go do.
Yeah, I want to throw something at you boys, too, that I stumbled across before I leave today. But go ahead, Frank. Let you go.
Well,
What
I was going to say is we talk about Golf Talk, you being with PGA Tour Radio, but you also host Golf Talk Canada, which is our sister show. You know, I mean, we're brothers from other mothers across the border here with Golf Talk America and Golf Talk Canada. How can our listeners in America catch your show at Golf Talk Canada?
Well, the TV show, I believe, is blocked because of rights, cable rights, and things like that. We're on Canada's ESPN at TSN, but our radio show can be heard anywhere on the iHeartRadio app. So if you're ever interested in tuning in, it's Saturday mornings, and then after it goes live, it lives in a podcast form. And thank you for that, Frank. But I wanted to throw something at you guys because I like to lay a little action once in a while on my golf. And I like looking through the weeds sometimes for a potential long shot. Now, part of my duties here in Canada is I'm part of the Masters broadcast team for Canada on TSN. So, you know, once in a while they ask me to write a couple essays and I voice the essays so that we can run them during our coverage. So something I stumbled across, there's a lot of people out there right now assuming that a bomber is going to win Augusta, right? DeChambeau, Rory, DJ, these are the names that are favorites because they hit it so far. And it's potentially going to be colder in November is what we've heard. So if it's colder and damp, the golf course is going to be even longer than it normally is, which means bombers should even have a bigger upper hand than they already do. And this is kind of where the logic's going. But I stumbled across something you guys might find interesting. Since they tiger-proofed Augusta in 2002 and then kind of finished it in 06. So let's go back to 2002, the first time Fazio lengthened Augusta. We've had four winners at Augusta since 2002. All win the Masters that were in the lower half of driving distance. So let's call them plotters, not bombers. Mike Weir, Trevor Immelman, Zach Johnson, and Danny Willett were all in the bottom half of driving distance, those four players. The other years, all the winners were either middle of the pack driving distance or likely at the top of driving distance. The 4 years that the plotters won were the coldest years of Augusta. Average daytime high in April is 79 Fahrenheit, November 64. Those 4 years, average high is 56 Fahrenheit. So if it's going to be cold in November, we might want to lay some action, guys, on a plotter. Let's say maybe a Webb Simpson, somebody along those lines.
I like Webb.
40, 50 to 1, guys. We might get some good numbers there. Just throwing that out at you when you guys start talking
like
Masters in a week or so.
Tim, does Mark sound like Bryson DeChambeau in his approach to this? I mean, that was pretty analytical there, Mark.
I mean, come on, buddy.
I've got
a little bit of a headache right between my eyes.
I need another Bloody Mary, Tim. I got to take a break.
Flogging me. Let me get this straight, though, Mark. You're saying You're saying that those 4 years that those guys won, the temperature was 25 degrees on average cooler than it normally would be at the same time of year. Of course, we're talking about now, it's only the only time it's in November. Every other time, even during those plotter years, you're saying the same time they were playing in April, but it was 25 degrees colder.
Yeah.
That's a big difference. Yeah. From 56 to 79.
Yeah, so what happens is if you take if you take the April daily average temperature in Augusta, the April average, according to the Tourism Board of Augusta, Georgia, average daily temperatures in April are 79 Fahrenheit.
Right.
If you take those 4 years of those champions, you add up the 16 days of temperatures and then divide them by 16 to get a daily average, the number you'll get is 56.
I went to Ole Miss. That's a little heavy for me. But
we'll have to check Mark's math there, but I'm just saying that is kind of stunning unto itself that it was that chilly. I mean, I know that every now and then you get a cold day here and there at Augusta in April. But boy, for an average to be 56 is cold.
That's
for Augusta,
cold,
isn't
it?
Versus 79, yeah,
well,
80 degrees. So
you know, it's
interesting.
It's interesting, guys, because for me, my first ever Masters was 2003 in person, and that's the year Mike Weir won. Funny enough.
Oh,
and the
where's he from? Where's Weir from?
Yeah, well, he might be from a little country to the north called Canada.
Yeah, I've heard of that place. Yeah, okay.
But the funny thing about that event, it was not only freezing cold that week, but the first round was washed down because of rain.
That's right.
I mean,
had a double.
So the longer Augusta plays, traditionally, since they Tiger proofed it, we get shorter winners, not longer hitting winners, which is weird. Now, will that trend be broken this year in November?
That's the question.
Sure looks that way. But
maybe.
It might be worth $50 here or there on somebody you like that isn't a bomber. So.
I'll take Simpson. I'll take Simpson for $50, Alex. Yes. Okay.
The other thing about that is it's also going to be. It's also going to be the experiment for DeChambeau, right? He's lengthened his driver. He's done some big adjustments. We can only imagine how much time he spent in the lab trying to figure things out, getting ready for Augusta, because he's now in that category of not only a major champion, but that's now his main focus. Like a lot of guys, once you get up to that level, that's your real focus versus the journeyman who's just saying, please let me get top tens and keep my living going. He's looking at majors, and now he's been focusing ever since the U.S. Open at Augusta and what he's going to do. And you look at 10, you look at 2, some of these holes that he can maybe take it over corners, over trees with that big high draw of his, is he going to be playing 2 with driver 9-iron?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, but that's kind of what he's planning to do, right? That's what he wants to do. So it'll be interesting. That'll be the other part of that tournament versus what you're saying. If it's colder, those bombers may not have an advantage, but certainly, one guy in particular, DeChambeau, is going to get a lot of eyes on him because that's what he's going there to do, just like he did.
If that happens, you can bet today and bet everything you have that Augusta National, which already owns a whole lot of property around that place, is going to buy more property, and they're going to lengthen the course.
Yeah.
It's going to be
tougher. I'll throw something else at you boys, too. If that does happen and Bryson DeChambeau turns Augusta into a par 68 with 9-irons and 8-irons in a par 5, I wouldn't be surprised if Augusta National went as an outlier in 21 or 22 or somewhere in the near future and said, this is our tournament golf ball. It's a golf ball only to be played at Augusta, which is some type of limited flight golf ball that doesn't allow this to happen. That would not shock me. At this point, how many more times can Augusta go back in yardage, guys? We're going to eventually run out of real estate.
Well, 8102, like French Lick. 8102. I mean, Carl Paulson played, by the way, you know, Carl, our friend, played French Lick, played 9 holes there. I don't know if you know about this, Mark, don't you? After he played 18.
Yeah, I heard he shot like 1 under.
2. 2 under par from 8102.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you? Well, Carl,
you were there, Frank.
Yeah, I was
there. When I played from 8102 for Off the Hosel show. I mean, it kicked the crap out of us. We played well, not 2 under well, but I mean, we're hitting, I was hitting three woods into par fours on three different occasions. So,
so what do you do?
But here's the thing. I don't think at Augusta, for one, yes, they could, money's no object. We all know that. And so if right next door was an airport, they could relocate an airport probably if they needed land to do that.
They could relocate a building. Whatever.
Yeah, that they want. Yeah, seriously, a church. Father, you're going to have to move your church. But I
didn't say that.
There's a lot of ways that they could do that, but I don't know that they want to go down that route. I'd almost think, Frank, and I'm half kidding, but not really, that where they see that these guys might be able to cut those corners when money's no object because they're hitting over 70-foot trees, that suddenly there are 100-foot
trees.
Redwoods are being imported.
Import the giant redwoods
into Augusta and say, now try to get over those trees.
Bryce, go, boy.
See what you can do with that.
Get you some.
Those 200-foot trees. They'll do something. I mean, I know that they're against it being humiliated, right? They don't want these guys to. But we already saw back when Tiger
demolished
the field.
Before you finish.
Yeah.
There's a key word here. There's one word about Augusta National, a key word. It's an invitational.
Right.
It's an invitational.
Stop inviting the bombers?
You're not invited.
Bryson, we lost your invitation in the mail.
I'm sorry.
I think that they when Tiger did his humbling of Augusta, right, and he won by, how many shots did he win by, 12? 15? He had the thing won,
bunch,
right?
A bunch.
But forever. But they didn't, you know, and they did change some, but let's be honest, he didn't come back and keep doing that, right? I mean, he didn't beat everybody by 12 for the next 10 years. He didn't drive every green. He didn't. So I think sometimes people will overreact if Bryson, and this is maybe a big if, but if Bryson were to really bomb the heck out of this golf course, I think they'd go, okay, great for you. One round. I don't know that Wingfoot needs to change an awful lot because of what you did. I don't know that you can do that every time because we see how inconsistent golfers can be. If everything's clicking, a lot of those guys could humble a golf course, but I don't know that you have to go overboard to say, never going to happen again because it may not just by nature.
And let's not forget or diminish how good Bryson's short game was.
Absolutely.
Right. If he's not rolling the rock like that and he's not getting up and down when he needs to, all that distance means nothing. Right, guys?
Yep. So he was around. He could have been around even par, and he would have been right.
You know, you talk about limited distance golf balls. Well, I play with limited distance golf balls every day.
There's
Pro V1s up here. They only go.
They're called Pro V1s.
Pro V1s. What is the deal? Titleist. Come on.
They're messing with my golf balls at 220.
I believe those are called limited talent golf balls.
Thank you, Mark. So. Like I said, Golf Talk Canada has been taken off the air, folks. Don't listen to it ever again.
Titleist is coming out with the new LT golf ball, the
limited talent
golf ball.
That's good. I like that.
You can get $37 a dozen.
Still have
Mark. We do appreciate your time, man. We know you're busy. We could talk forever.
Yeah, we could.
But we know you got
Mark's
things to
do
and place to go. Yeah, and we all do.
Always
but,
a pleasure,
thanks
guys.
So much.
Thanks so much.
What's your next tournament? What's your next tournament on tour?
That's a good question. Oh, I've got. I have Houston. I go Houston for PGA Tour Radio, Masters for TSN Television, then RSM for PGA Tour Radio, and then I'm taking some time off. So.
What?
I think we have a TV, a Golf Talk Canada TV special in Canada in December. With the exception of that TV special, I'm taking December and the first 2 weeks of January off, and then hopefully looking forward to getting started again on the ground for the West Coast Swing with the radio team at some point. Likely Torrey, I don't know, but somewhere around Torrey, LA.
So I just thought of something, Mark. If you're going to be in Houston, it's 2 weeks. If I decide to come out there, I might hop a plane and come out. Will you pick me up? You don't have to pick me up. I'll get a shuttle from the airport. Just let me know where you're staying, and I'll grab a room where you guys are.
I'll let you know where the PGA Tour radio team is staying, Frank.
Yeah.
And
if they'll let me in, we'll see.
Well, you know, just to get you a disguise of some kind. Everybody's in a mask.
I'll come as Fred Albers.
Nobody will know who you are.
I'll have a dozen donuts. I'm kidding, Fred. I love Fred. I'm just kidding him.
I haven't seen Fred in a while. I miss Fred.
So, yeah, Fred Albers is great. He's one of the best.
Thanks again, guys.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for your time, and best of luck. We'll check your workout in Houston when you get there in a couple weeks.
Have a great week.
You too, Mark. Thanks, buddy.
Okay, you too. Mark Cicchino, PGA Tour Radio. It'd be
limited
nice.
Talent golf balls. That's a bunch
that
of
sounds
crap.
Like a good idea. Seems like a good idea.
You know what? I think we ought to publish the Golf Talk America Limited Talent Golf Balls. Hey, here's a quick, before we go, thank you so much to Club Corp. Go to clubcorp.com. They're a great sponsor, presenting sponsor of Golf Talk America. We appreciate them very much.
Yep.
Shout out to our friends at Firestone Country Club. Go to check them out, Firestone Country Club. Jay and Tommy up there, the GM and the golf pro, two great guys, and we'll have them both on the air with us probably next week. And there was something else I was going to throw out there, but I guess I forgot. But I thought it was important, Tim. I guess it wasn't.
Something about Augusta? Something?
No, not about Augusta. Okay. It was something else that I was going to throw out that we were going to do. I don't know.
What could it be?
I don't know. Well, you have to listen to another show to find out.
Tour this week is the Zozo Championship. We'll finish up over the weekend at Thousand Oaks, California. Then the tour moves on. Some guys will go to the Bermuda Championship, which, of course, will be in Bermuda. Then others going to the Vivint Houston Open. That's the new sponsor there at Houston at Memorial Park. And then, of course, the Masters starting November 12th. So some really good golf right around the corner. And, of course, right after the Masters, the guys will turn around and not have to go very far to one of your favorite spots, Frank, Sea Island, Georgia.
You got it.
For the
my mom and dad used to live there.
Which would be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Love it there. So, hey, I know what I was going to say, by the way. Talking about Sea Island and Charleston and Myrtle Beach and that whole area. First week of December, 6th, 5th, 6th, 7th, right in there. The Santee, S-A-N-T-E-E, Winter Four Ball Classic. It will be held in Santee at Lake Marion Golf Course, Santee, South Carolina. We've done it every year. This is the fourth year, and work with those guys. Todd Miller is the head golf professional there at Lake Marion Golf Course. Check if you go online, check it out, folks, and it's an incredible value, and what a fun time of a few days with a lot of great people. Anybody can play in it. Just sign up and come play. Okay. It's a blast, and the goodie bag that you get is incredible. It includes golf clubs and hats and shirts and free FootJoy shoes, all sorts of stuff. But it's a great
LT,
tournament.
LT golf balls?
Yes, limited talent golf balls are distributed, no. Tour Edge is the big sponsor, so our friends at Tour Edge, and John Claffey and all those boys will be there. So Santee Winter Classic, and we're negotiating a little something maybe with a trophy that might be called something to do with this show. So we'll see.
We'll be there,
and Todd Miller and his family, great folks, at Lake Marion Golf Course. Lake Marion, Santee Cooper.
That's the first week of December.
Yeah, the 6th, I think, 5th, I'm not sure. I should have the date. Just
three for the three, Google th- it. Three thir- third through the 6th is the weekend.
So yeah, Google it while Google's still on the air. Santee.
before they go before Congress.
Yeah. Santee Winter Classic. It's a fun tournament. Sweeney will be there. We'll have another video of Brendan topping the ball with his driver and it going straight up in the air and coming straight back down in front of him. Like he did last year. It was fun. So, anyway, great time. That's what I meant to say. So, with that there being said and the music being played, I guess it's time to say goodbye, huh?
All right. As you said, Frank, thanks again to our big title sponsor. We love them so much at Club Corp. Go to clubcorp.com to find out more about a great Club Corp property near you. That should do it. Thank you to Mark Cicchino at PGA Tour Radio for being with us. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. We do appreciate each and every one of you listening to us, and continue to follow us on whatever home of podcasting that you find us, because we're all over it. You can find us almost anywhere. And please remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.